पद्माधर कुंजा विहारी गोपी जन्म वाला हवा हरि गोपी जन्म वाला गोपी जन्म वाला हवाद धारी गोपी जन्म यमुना तीरा नमुना तीरा नय राधव कुंजा विहारी कुंजा विहारी गोपी जन्म वाला जीवर धारी गोपी जन्म वाला सोदनांजना जमुना कीरावन जाहरीन जमुना कीरावन जाहरीन जय राजम्मा धावा कुंजा बिहारी राजम्मा धावा गोपी जन्ना वाला जीवर दावाई गोपी जन्ना वाला गोपी जन्म वाला गिरद गारी सोदनांजना जन्ना सोदनांजना जन्ना यमुना तीरा जाहरिया जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिव्राजक आचार्य अस्तुतर सद श्री श्रीमान श्रेसी भक्ति वृंद स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत गौर वैष्णविंद की जय रामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय श्रीमद भगवताम की जय गौर प्रेमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Namo Shri Krishna Sai Vadesh Vanitana Swami Garasa. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नस्तपरेषु अब्रदेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतोत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 5th chapter, text number 17. The meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudeva. Rohini cha Mahabhaga.
Rohini cha Mahabhaga.
Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita.
Nanda Gopa Vinandita.
Vyachara Diva Vasya Swat. Vyachara Divya Vasya Swat. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyachara Diva Vyasa Swak. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyachara Diva Vyasa Swak. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyasaradiva Vyasa Swak. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyachara Diva Vyasa Swak. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Matajis. Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyachara Divya Vyasa Swak. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyachara Divya Vyasa Swak. Kantha Bharana Bhushita. Children, Rohini cha Mahabhaga. Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Vyachara Divya Vyasa Swak. Kandana Bharabhushita. Word for word. Rohini.
Rohini.
Rohini, the mother of Baladev.
Rohini, the mother of Baladev.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Mahabhaga.
Mahabhaga.
The most fortunate mother of Baladev.
The most fortunate mother of Baladev.
Greatly fortunate because of having. The opportunity to raise Krishna and Balaram together.
The opportunity to raise Krishna and Balaram together.
Nanda Gopa Vinandita. Being honored by Maharaj Nanda. And Mother Yasoda. Vyacharat. Was busy wandering here and there. Divya, beautiful. Vyasa, with a dress. Shrak
with a garland.
Kanta Abara, excuse me. Kanta Abharana.
And with an ornament covering the neck.
Bhusita,
decorated.
Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busy wandering here and there to receive the woman who were guest, the women who were guests at the festival. Please repeat. The most fortunate Rohini, the mother of Baladev, was honored by Nanda Maharaj and Yasoda, and thus she also dressed gorgeously and decorated herself with a necklace, a garland, and other ornaments. She was busy wandering here and there to receive the women, who were guests at the festival. Purport. Rohini, another wife of Vasudev's, was also kept under the care of Nanda Maharaj with her son, Baladev. Because her husband was imprisoned by Kamsa, she was not very happy. But on the occasion of Krishna Janmashtami, Nandotsava, when Nanda Maharaj gave dresses and ornaments to others, he also gave gorgeous garments and ornaments to Rohini, so that she could take part in the festival. Thus, she also was busy receiving the women who were guests. Because of her good fortune and being able to raise Krishna and Balaram together, she is described as Mahabhaga, greatly fortunate. So, here Mother Rohini comes into the picture. And we can just try to absorb ourselves in these pastimes of Krishna, which is what Bhakti Yoga ultimately brings us to, the idea of emerging ourselves into the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Katha, learning about Krishna and understanding and the activities of Krishna. Why is that important? Well, why is it important to understand? Because one might think, well, we look and we say, well, God is there. And some people say, God is great, God is good, God is all-pervasive. But Krishna consciousness is a far deeper concept of God realization. It's the understanding of God as the personality. Huh? That there is, basically, there is Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Krishna consciousness, we focus primarily on Bhagavan, on that personality of God, that cowherd boy that ran around and had pastimes. And not only the cowherd boy Krishna, but also Krishna's, all the associates of Krishna that came down from the spiritual world, from Vaikuntha, to partake in these pastimes. It's sort of like, hey, there's a party going on, anyone want to come? Huh? There's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to do all kinds of things that we don't normally do, or maybe some extra stuff. We're even going to, watch me, I'm going to kill some demons.
Huh? Get rid of some bad guys? Huh? Is it? And so everyone signs up and says, I'm coming. I want to come. I mean, it's not that it's boring here in Vaikuntha, but, you know, in Goloka Vrindavan, but golly, this is something special. So all of these inhabitants that came, that were living in Vrindavan at the time, they were inhabitants of Goloka Vrindavan, but they came down to earth for the pleasure of Krishna and to partake in his various pastimes. And so can you imagine? So now they've come and they came before Krishna came. So Mother Rohini, right? She had already come down and she's living in Vrindavan. And all of a sudden now Krishna appears. Finally, Krishna's come. Can you imagine? Just think about that. If, you know, next day that Krishna Keshava Das, he gets on the microphone after thing is, oh, by the way, tomorrow Krishna's coming. And we're going to have a party. What a celebration. What an ecstatic time if you can just put yourself in this place where they are right now. That here's Krishna's appeared and they're going to have a celebration. So Nanda Maharaj, he's doing all of this arrangement. He's giving away cows. He's lined up a million cows. Does anyone know how many zeros are in a million? Who knows? Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And are there any more? Anyone else? Yes. Six. Yeah, so three, and then three more. That's a lot, huh? Yeah, it's like one, and then zero, 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 comma, zero, zero, zero. Wow! So how many kids are here in the class? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. About 18, maybe 20, yeah, 20, about 20 kids. So if you took 20 times 5, that's 100, right? That's like two zeros. So one and two zeros. But we've got one and six zeros. Wow! Can you imagine if there were a million kids in here? That'd be a lie. Wow. Well, think about a million cows. That's a lot, too. And Nanda Maharaj gave them all away. How exciting is that? Wow. And he gave garments to all the women so they could get all decorated and ornaments, and everyone's running around, and they're making all the preparations, and they're getting ready, and there's these, what is it, we learned yesterday, Magadhas, yeah? Yeah, the reciters, they're reciting, and there are brahmanas, they're chanting verses, and they're singing, they're everything's going on. Such a festive occasion. And anyone know what that's called? Yes. Yeah, but what kind? What's the name of it? It was in the verse. Janmashtami. Yeah, the appearance of Lord Krishna. Special. Special. So when we have Janmashtami festival here too, don't we? Yeah. And everyone's running around and all of the ladies dress up real nice in their saris and get all decorated. Yeah. Yeah. It's a special time. So this is what Krishna consciousness is about. Huh? Understanding these pastimes of Krishna, how special it is when Krishna appears. And so just like every day, we get to see Krishna appear on the altar with Radharani, Radha Shama Sundar. And look how beautiful Srimati Radharani is dressed. Huh?
And she dresses why? To please Krishna. Huh? She dresses to please Krishna. That's all she wants to do. Can you imagine? All she ever thinks about is pleasing Krishna. That's her life and soul. And she wants to be with Krishna. And when she's not with Krishna, when Krishna goes away, if Krishna's not with Radharani every moment, every second, to have that feeling. As we progress in Krishna consciousness and practice bhakti yoga, following the principles, we'll develop that same kind of attachment. Not exactly to the same degree as Srimati Radharani, but we have our own special attachment with Krishna. Everyone has their own special relationship with Krishna. Wouldn't it be nice to know what that is? Huh? Wouldn't that be nice? What is my relationship with Krishna, with God? And Krishna comes down so that we can, instead of just saying, well, what's my relationship with God? He comes down to show us how special he is, what a special personality God actually is. So we can even be even more attracted to him. That's special. That's, wow, that's very kind. And what does Krishna say? He says, I come again and again. He comes to deliver the devotees. He also comes to take care of the bad guys. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of bad guys all the time. We got to be careful not to guard against being with the bad guys. Because association with the bad guys, they're called materialistic people, self-indulgent people, people who think that they're God, that they're Krishna, people who think that they're better than others, people who think that they are the center of the universe. Isn't that funny? Someone thinks that they're the center of the universe and they can't even stop their hair from growing. Isn't that funny? They don't even know how many hairs are on their head. Me, I do, about two. But it's so funny that someone would think that they're the supreme controller, that they're in charge of stuff. Anyone know how their food is digested? They just, you know, we eat and it goes, and somehow we grow when we get bigger, and then we, you know. How does that happen? What is that? How ironic. But yet, some of them think they're the big guy or the big girl, or they're the big this or that, you know. That's called identifying with this material body, or identifying with this material mind. You know, if the mind says, oh yeah, you're so great, and you say, yeah, well, you know, you're also identified with that. But you know what always happens? It always turns out to be incorrect. 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 Does anyone know what happens if we say that 1 + 1 = 3? That's wrong, isn't it? Huh? Isn't that wrong? Anyone think that's right? No. Because if we do that and we say that, and then even if we do all the, and we add everything else after that, we add another 3 and we say that's 6, and we add another 3 and we say that's 9. Well, because we made the original thing wrong, then whatever we do after that is also going to be wrong. So that's why in Krishna consciousness, we start from what is right. That's the scriptures. And what the pure saintly people in the past have said, and what the guru or the spiritual master, who is also above making mistakes, says. And we follow that. And by starting from the beginning, getting it right from the beginning, then we can get to the right conclusion. Has anyone ever been on a road and you take a road and you go and you don't follow the map and say, oh, let's go this way. And then you end up, instead of getting where you're supposed to be, you're way off to someplace else. That's called a mistake. And what happens when you make a mistake? It takes a long time to correct it. Sometimes we have to go all the way back to the beginning. So in this material world, if we make a mistake by thinking that we're this material body or we're this mind and we're not a spirit soul, and then we forget about Krishna, we got to go all the way back to the beginning and take another body again. And it may not be as good as this one. Maybe worse. Does anyone know how many different kinds of bodies there are in the material world? Anyone know? Okay, so we know that Nanda gave 1 million cows, right? So how many different kinds of bodies? Yes. About 8,400,000. 8,400,000 different species of life. So there's like 1 million cows, right? And then there's like 8 times that, plus 400,000 of different kinds. There's bugs, and there's plants, and there's birds, and there's fish, right? And then there's all kinds of different animals, and then there's different kinds of human beings, big ones, tall ones, fat ones, skinny ones, all kinds of different ones. Ones with eyes like this, you know. Wow. And you know what happens to all of those? They all go like this. They get real big, they grow up, and then they get wrinkles like this, and they lose their hair like this, and their hair turns all white like this. And then that spirit soul has to leave that body. So on our road, on our path now, how special it is that we are in a place where we can get on the right road, go in the right direction, and get to the right conclusion. And that is to understand our relationship with Krishna. The little cowherd boy that's here in the Bhagavatam that just appeared to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, and they're so excited, it's so ecstatic, and some of them are so, they don't even care that Krishna's God, they just love Krishna. It's just Krishna is so attractive to them, so special. So that's what we want to try to get that excited. We want to get excited about where we are. And if we're not excited, we got to go to someone who is excited. That's called sadhu sangha. Associating with devotees. Devotees who are absorbed in Krishna katha, in talks about Krishna. That's where we want to go. You want to be with those kind of people. And it doesn't matter that maybe they know a little more than you or me. They're always going to be someone who knows more than us. But that's how we learn. We go to someone who knows a little more than us, and we want to associate with them. And many wonderful things happen by associating with pure devotees of Krishna. It sort of rubs off. It's like magic. It rubs off. It's like, you know, everyone ever play with glitter? You know, you have glitter and you're playing with it and you get it on your hands
and then it just kind of rub, and it just sticks on your hands, and you touch something, and it goes there, and it goes there, and all of a sudden it's everywhere, and your mother's saying, what have you done? Krishna consciousness is like that. It's like glitter. And you go and you find a big pile of glitter, and you just get all in it. Huh? And then it rubs on you, and then you're, all of a sudden you're glittering too. And you want to glitter. And that's what Krishna consciousness is. It's someone who is just full of glitter. Huh? He's just full of sparks. And they just, and those sparks just go on to you too when you're around someone who is Krishna conscious. And it's exciting. It's not boring. It's not yucky. it's exciting. It's wonderful. And you know what? There's a difference. When you're around something that's not good, and it's a, we call it negative or something, and you walk away, you kind of don't feel good. But when you're around someone who's Krishna conscious, and you go away, you say, golly, that was wonderful. That was exciting. That was neat. You actually get a good feeling inside. Why? Because in your heart is Krishna. And Krishna is pleased because you're hearing about him. Or you're doing some service for him. And he's in your heart. And even if you're doing some service outside, like you're taking care of the temple, or you're doing something, or you're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you're talking about Krishna, or you're hearing about Krishna. There are different processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Paranasevanam, Arjunam, Vandanam, Sankhyam, Panibhedanam. Different processes of devotional service. And when you're doing those, because Krishna's in our heart, he's conscious that you're doing it. He knows you're doing it. So there's a spark that comes. It's sort of like he passes out some glitter too. He gives you some glitter. And you feel the glitter inside. And the more and more and more that you practice bhakti, that glitter just comes from inside, and all of a sudden it starts coming out. It just poof. And then your mother says, oh, you got a mess here. What's that mess of glitter? You say, oh, it's glitter, Mom. And she kind of likes it too. She doesn't really get mad at glitter because it's glitter. So glitter is like, when you see glitter, think of Krishna consciousness. Huh? Think of Krishna. All right? Now don't everyone go to school and play with a bunch of glitter and get it all over the place, okay? Hari Bol. So, here is the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And they are so excited about this, to take part in this appearance of Lord Krishna. And again, we have to look and see inside ourselves that as we get uncovered from this material conditioning, and most of it is conditioning. It's habit. Habits come from doing something. And that's why the process of bhakti yoga is also has something to do with controlling the mind. Because if we allow the mind to go over here into a bad place, a place that's not Krishna conscious, well, what we've done is we've just stretched the boundaries. And as the boundaries get stretched, we get more fragmented. Our mind is limited, our conscious mind is limited, our intelligence is limited, because we're finite, we're just spirit souls, we're just sitting in these material elements. And as these things become more fragmented, and then we now have opened ourselves up to other things. And if we go back there, we tend to go back again and again, because Maya gives us the appearance that there may be good things to do, or they're pleasurable, or they're right, or they're okay, or nobody's watching, so I can do this. Well, we do it a couple times, and what do we develop? We develop a habit. We develop it's okay. It's just like the first time when you tell a little lie. Okay, now it's, you know, and I didn't get hurt, did I? No. So, maybe I can do that again. So I'll tell another lie. And pretty soon it becomes a habit. And pretty soon we're living a lie. Because we've stretched that boundary. Every time we do something, I criticize someone. Well, I didn't get hurt by that, so I can do it again. And it felt kind of neat, you know. When we criticize someone, what are we doing? We're actually, in a way, we're putting ourselves above them. We're thinking we're better. But what are we actually criticizing? Well, all we're criticizing is a conditioned behavior. If we think we're criticizing the soul, then we're foolish. The soul's just trapped within that conditioned behavior. So a devotee sees beyond that. The devotee does not see that conditioned behavior. A pure devotee sees the soul. Sees the soul entrapped in a conditioned behavior. We want to rein in that conditioned behavior. We don't want to stretch the boundaries. We don't want more and more and more and more of this material stuff because it's temporary. And we run the risk of making it a habit. And habits, as we know, are hard to break. So therefore we practice this process of bhakti yoga, of which includes controlling our mind, fixing our mind on Krishna. We fix it on Krishna, 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 Hare Krishna. And we rein it in, rein our mind in. And when we see these other things, we don't want to go there. I don't want to go there, because what's going to happen? What's the end result of that? One conditioned behavior can create another conditioned behavior. One slip can go and go again. Trust me, I know. I am certainly a very fallen soul. So we want to rein it in. So how do we rein it in? We have to have parameters, right? Build our walls, all right? And make those walls get tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter, and so focus like a laser on Krishna at the end. We constantly get closer and closer and closer. So what are these? What are those walls? Those walls are those nine processes of devotional service. Those are the walls that help us get more fixed and bring it in. And the more we're doing those processes of devotional service, the less likely we are to slip out, to let the water spill out and run away and get conditioned and build a habit. So we might want to look. One way we can do is, and this is self analysis, is write down on a piece of paper, what are my bad habits? What habits do I have that are bad, that I want to fix, that I want to rein in? All right? Because half the time, it's a question of being cognizant of those conditioned behaviors. What are those things that I do that make me stay in the material world. What are they? And are they good for me? You know, we stop and think. Just stop and think sometimes. You know, if people, you know, just stop for a second and thought, wait a minute. This is ridiculous. This is going to cause me to take birth again in this material world. This is going to cause me more pain and suffering. This is going to cause me, and for a devotee, it's going to cause me to forget about Krishna. So a devotee doesn't want to forget Krishna. He wants to always smile at him. He wants to always remember Krishna. Wants to always be conscious of Krishna. So those things which are favorable for devotional service, we want to do. Rupa Goswami explains to us what are those things which are favorable and what are those things which are unfavorable. And we want to follow those things which are favorable for devotional service. So we think during the day, we have to use our mind. Krishna consciousness is not, we may get some unlimited mercy and just, you know, Krishna says, okay, come on. You can go back to Godhead, you know. But we also, there's a saying, first deserve, then desire. Become deserving of the mercy of Krishna. He kind of wants to see that, you know. You know, thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are dependent upon me. They're very dear to me. You know, he kind of tells you in the Bhagavad Gita which ones are the most dear, which ones are special, how to become special. It's not an elite club. That's what's so beautiful about it. Bhakti is not elite. It's for everyone. He's right there. It's like, look, I'm going to come down and I'm going to tell you exactly how you can do this thing. And how you can become dear to me. You know, when we're way back in the karmi world and we're doing this and we're dating and we're trying to find out, how's this girl going to like me? I don't know. You know, I'll give her some flowers. Well, she's allergic to flowers, you know. I mean, you know, it doesn't work. You know. But Krishna says, Patram pushma balam toyam yogi bhakti. Offer me with love and devotion a fruit, a flower, a leaf, and water. I'll accept it. He takes the mystery out of it if we just listen to him. How to become dear. You know? And then his devotees, his pure devotees, his representatives also come and they help us even more by saying, here, you do this. You chant this mantra. This Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And you just keep chanting it. You get a taste. You get a taste. And you get a taste. And if you know you're doing it right, you'll know. You get a ruchi. You get that taste for Krishna consciousness. You get a taste for chanting. You get a taste for those 16 rounds a day. I'm not satisfied until I get those rounds done. At least 16. I remember when I was brahmachari, we did this. I got a group of about six of us together, and we started the 64 club. So we would chant 64 rounds every day. But we still had to do our service and everything. But somehow we were able to do it. And it was like, okay, it was great. But we want a taste. We want, you know you're doing it right if you actually get a taste that you sit in the morning and chant 16 rounds a day. It's wonderful. You know, it's like, God, this is wonderful. You'll feel it. You'll feel it. It's there. It's not artificial. Why? Because we're chanting. Krishna's in our heart. He's hearing it. We're chanting sincerely. He's in our heart, and he's pleased. So the glitter comes. He starts throwing out the glitter. And we can feel it, because we're right there. We're not far away. Two birds sitting on a tree. We're not far away. Huh? So what did I do today? See, first it's like this. Well, what did I do today to make Krishna happy? What did I do this hour to make Krishna happy? What did I do this minute to make Krishna happy? What did I do the second to make Krishna happy? That's bhakti. Huh? That's what bhakti yoga is. That's what a pure devotee is. What am I doing every second for Krishna? Huh? Wow. And if there's some glitter that comes every once in a while, just think if Krishna's pouring glitter on you the whole time. And you know what's cool? You know what's very special? There's an unlimited supply of glitter. Huh? It's very special. It's called prema. Prema bhakti. Love of God. Huh? It's love, this ocean of love. This feeling of just completeness, of satisfaction, of security. It's wholesome, it's fulfilling, it's not appetite suppressive. It's appetite satisfaction. It's being satisfied. So getting that, Krishna, he wants, and he's got this whole bucket of glitter ready to pour on us. That soul, this soul within this body, in each of us. Whenever we're ready, Krishna is always ready. Isn't that cool? Isn't that special? That's mercy. Jai. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. Gopal Krishna.
Krishna Gopal. Yeah.
My name is Vidyagati Das, Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class. Fault finding. Now, we have examples where Prabhupada was taking Charanamrita in Hawaii, and Mataji mistakenly used salt instead of sugar. And of course, you don't bathe Krishna with salt. not a good thing. So he came down very heavy on her. And just in everyday doing our sevas as service to the Lord, it's not wrong to point out fault, because how will something be corrected if you don't point out? Okay, don't talk on the cell phone while driving. Yesterday I ran into a truck driver, tow driver, and he said it's amazing how many people die because they take their mind off driving for 1 second. So is there some concession that devotees can find fault and point it out, or should we just pray to Krishna to correct that?
No, that's a great question. If I'm in the service mood, I want to serve Krishna, and I want to serve Krishna and please Krishna, and I know that you want to please Krishna. And so if that mood is there, then it will be expressed in such a way that it will be helpful and not hurtful. It's the business of the guru to chastise. That's different. Guru has to do that. But Shruti Kirti wrote, there was a letter that he talked about, I was reading about a month ago. He puts a letter every day on Facebook, which is very nice, of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj did something that was inappropriate on a contract or something, and Prabhupada chastised him very severely, and so but then right after that, it was over. It was done. So it's not like he was mad at him for a week and didn't talk to him. He chastised him. He did the business of chastising as the guru. And then that was it. It was over because there's no animosity there. There's no lording it over there. There's no I'm better than you. There's no see how bad you are. There's nothing like that in a pure devotee. A pure devotee is just trying to help. And that's all. So it comes across. One never felt bad if Prabhupada chastised, if you ever got chastised by Prabhupada. And we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Advaita Acharya started preaching Mayavadi philosophy just so he'd get chastised by Lord Chaitanya. I mean, kick me, hit me. How special is that? Why? Because it's different. It's different, It's not material. So if there's some, so we're not fault finding. We're not, what is that fault finding? I'm going to go find some faults. You see? No, that's not good. Right? But if I see a fault, if it's there, then I help correct it. Oh, Prabhu. Just like I was giving I was honored to be able to do Guru Puja to Prabhupada, to offer the arti. And so one devotee asked me, did you do Archanam? I said, yes, I did, actually, yes. He said, okay, good. That's good. I just checked. Because he didn't see, but he wanted to know. But I didn't take offense. His desire was to make sure that it was done properly. Okay? That's all. So there's no problem. So we have to make sure that the desire in us, again, is that something that is outside. Outside of my thing. Right. Yes?
I was just going to agree that pretty much with any interaction, if your intention is to criticize, then the person will be offended. You can even say kind words, and if you say in a criticizing manner, like, oh, you're so nice, then they're going to feel criticized. But just as a part of using your intelligence, if there's something wrong, then I believe it should be fixed. And if the mood is really just you want to help, then what I find is the person, they get that mood from you that you want to help. It doesn't have to be in a criticizing way, just even with anything. I found that.
So, most of the time, that's correct. Sometimes, if they're covered over pretty bad.
If they're looking for it.
And what is it? Beware. Don't go there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just find what can I do if I really make sure that my intention is helpful and not criticizing. Like, I don't want to find this fault because I want to feel better than this person. I just want to help them. Then usually, or at least I've done my part.
And that's your nature, and so. People see that, and if that's your nature of just really trying to help, then ultimately they'll see that. If they don't, they may not see it right away, but they'll see it then. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I was just I was covered over by Mr. Passion, or Mr. Ignorance. So it could happen, But
and
yeah,
even if they don't react how you want them to, or they do take fault, I still feel like it's my responsibility to address something. So I've done what I feel like is the best thing to do, and then how they react is, hopefully it's positive.
Internally, I'm doing this, I want to please Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By helping this soul, seeing this to help that soul, and by doing that, that's to please Krishna. Think in that way, and then come what may. Yeah, but you try. It's nice. Anyone else? All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Hari Bhagavan.